Josh and I spent the last, we spent Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Josh, you want to start that camera for me right there, if you would? We spent Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at Indiana Wesleyan talking with potential protege candidates, young men and women studying for the ministry, getting ready to do two-year residencies, and we just had a big time with that. That was a lot of fun. I mean, there are some impressive young people that we had the chance to sit down with and talk with, and it was awesome. Can I tell you what my joke? Okay, because I got a kick out of it. If no one else laughed, they did laugh. You may not laugh. You might not find this funny. This is like a minister's joke. Okay, so this is the world in which I live and have been firmly parked in that world for a number of years now. All right, so I was on a panel last year. I got to be on this panel, and they put us on bar stools, and we're all lined up across the front, and a bunch of eager young faces there in that classroom, and the professor was emceeing the whole event, and he was talking, and they went down the road, and they said, you need to tell us your name and what you do, your position, and tell us a little bit about your church, and tell us a little bit about the residency program. It was cool. And I was on the very end, so I was either going to go first or last. Guess what I got to do? I got to go last, yeah, which was great. Okay, so everyone starts down there, and they start talking about their churches and stuff. And my name is so-and-so, and I come from such-and-such church, and we have 500,000 people, and we have more money than God himself, and I'm one on a staff of 185, and it was just, and the next person, well, we can outdo that. We got 750,000 people. And every one of them went down there, and I went, wow, these people are all. And my favorite part was they would say, "We have, our main campus is here, such and such, and then we have four other campuses. We have five other campuses. We have six other campuses. We're starting our seventh campus," and that's what they all were talking about and stuff. And they got down to me. And I'm the old guy, okay? Everybody else there is young, good-looking, thin, intelligent, sharply dressed, contemporary, and I'm sitting on the end, okay? And I said, "Hi, my name is Chet Berry, and I'm the senior pastor." That's an old term right there. I should have said lead pastor. That would have been much more impressive, okay? Preaching pastor, okay? I'm pretty much the only pastor right now, okay? I'm pastor, and I'm small group teacher, and I am janitor and lawn maintenance, too. So not many people can wear all those hats. I didn't say all that. So I'm the senior pastor at Hope the Breakfast Church. And I kind of leaned forward, and I looked down the line a little bit, and I said, "Where we have 9 campuses, all of which choose to meet in our one building." And I got a little better response than that right there, okay? About half, two-thirds of the kids got it, okay? They realized this was sarcasm, and this was humor, and this was us not taking ourselves too seriously. And then I followed it up with, we find that combining all of our campuses into one building is much more efficient that way. That's a reason, you know, that we do that. And then I finally said, that's a joke, okay? And they all busted up laughing. I was really, really glad. They all found that hilarious. And then I wondered how the guys down the line felt. But at that point, I didn't really care. You know, so that's the beauty of never seeing those people again, okay? Oh, but What a very cool 3 days. What a very awesome 3 days. Pray for that, because these young people are making decisions where, just like Josh, they are coming, they're learning, they're participating, they're exercising their gifts, they're developing their passion. I can't, this is amazing about this generation. Hear this very, very closely. My generation, you having problems with that, Josh? It's not working? Just keep going. Just ignore it. We'll either get it or we won't. That pretty much sums up everything around here. Okay, so that's our philosophy. We'll either get it or we won't. Okay. One of the two. Aaron used to tell a joke. He said about this guy talking about his music. He says, you either really like us, you don't, or you're somewhere in between. Sarcasm. This generation is unlike my generation, the boomer generation. When we got out of school, it was all about going out and conquering. It was all about going out and getting that job, making those dollars. We still wanted to make a difference in the world. I don't know of too many generations that I've studied thus far that have ever said, nah, I don't really want to make any difference. Every one of them thinks they're going to make a difference. My generation, many of you, our generation built buildings and institutions, developed organizations, structures, processes. That's what we did. This younger generation that's growing up now says, that is cool. But don't leave relationship out and the individual out in the process. Don't leave them out of the equation. God wants to do something through the relationships and the connections that we have. And that's just pretty amazing. And here's the wild thing. They are willing to spend some time getting it right. I told him, I said, and he said, what is something that differentiates your experience in your church from other experiences? Well, I can't speak to other experiences, but I will tell you this. This is a safe place in which you could make a mistake. And we're not going to run you out of town or string you up because you made a mistake. We're going to help you learn through that. And we're going to help you avoid the mistakes that sometimes there's very little recovery from. We're going to help you avoid some of those things. But this is a place where I had a picture frame Josh gave me a hard time about because I was very, very excited about this illustration, okay? Old guys and their illustrations and sermons. I mean, come on. I mean, when you get a really good one, you're just like really proud of it, you know? And so I went over to Walmart and I bought a little paper picture frame, and I put a blank piece of paper in it, and it even had a little micro easel. That wasn't at Walmart. That was at one of those hobby stores. Okay, so whatever it was. I bought a little wooden easel, and I set that picture there. It was just a blank picture. What is that? And I said, that's us. That's protege. It's what we do. What do you mean? I said, we will provide the parameters. We'll provide the edges. We won't let you get beyond the edge. Some of those edges, some of our beliefs, our doctrine, some of our values, time, resources, all kinds of things, our history, ritual, all those things create edges within to work. But here's what I need you to do. I need you to paint the picture. You paint the picture. And you know what you're going to find out? You're going to paint that picture, and in 6 months, you're going to look at that picture, and you're going to go, I think I want to tweak that picture. I think I could paint that picture better. I think I've developed a bit. I think some of my passions are different, and I think I could do that a little bit better. Can I redraw that? And the answer is absolutely. Absolutely. That's protege. And can I say this? That's largely for the ministry that God wants to call you into. You say, "What I'm a color by numbers you know, paint by numbers kind of person. I want the outline. Give me the outline. I have to know what the outline is. We can work with that. But for many of you, God's placed passion in your heart for ministry. It doesn't neatly fit the job description that you've always seen in church. How is God working within the passions of your heart? That's one of the things that we'll talk about. We have several questions today that we're going to dismiss here a little bit later. We're going to go back to four different areas in the back, and we're simply going to talk missions today. Because we as a board, that was the other thing that happened this week. Very busy week this week. Friday night, we went down to Brown County, and the board stayed overnight. And we had a great powwow. Our district superintendent went along with us for that. We kind of picked his brain some. We talked about the role of Hope the Breakfast Church within our district, within our denomination. What could God do? It was an awesome overnighter. And one of the things that came out of that overnighter was us developing the last half hour of our service today. So we want everybody to stay, if you can stay. And we just want you to pick one of those four areas that you're interested in and sit down, listen, participate, talk, brainstorm, ask questions. It'd be a very profitable half hour when it comes to mission. I want you to take a Bible, if you would. Find a Bible. I want you to find 1 Kings chapter 18. I've got a lot of scripture today. There's no way we're getting through it in the next 19 minutes and 5 seconds. There's no way we're getting through this. So if you want to take a couple of notes, if you want to come back, and or maybe you want to, I would say pull up the video, but I guess that's not on the, it's not working, is it? No? Okay, all right. Well, I can really say things today then, if we're not on the, you know, on the World Wide Web. It's even better. 1 Kings chapter 18 is where we will park this a little bit. But we're going to start out in Isaiah 41. You don't have to turn there, I'll read it to you. Isaiah 41 verses 21 through 23. The Lord speaks through the prophet and he says this, "Present your case, says the Lord. Set forth your arguments, says Jacob's king." Who's he talking to? He's talking to idols. Kind of wild. He's talking to chunks of stone. He's talking to pieces of wood. He's talking to dark spirits. "Set forth your arguments, says Jacob's king. Tell us, you idols, tell us what is going to happen. Tell us what the former things were, so that we may consider them and know their final outcome. Or declare to us the things to come. Tell us what the future holds, so that we may know that you are gods. Do something." Everybody say, "Do something." Do something. You ever said that to your kids? You had no idea it was scripture, did you? This is God-breathed kind of stuff right here. Do something! I'm not saying your kids are idols. They may be a little pagan once in a while. You never know, okay? Do something, whether good or bad, so that we will be dismayed and filled with fear. In 1 Kings 18, which we'll look at here together, there's Elisha and this battle with these gods of Baal. And there's like this a showdown, if you will. There's a contest. There's a contest between Elisha's God and the false gods, the idols. I've been thinking about that this week. I've been thinking as I watch the news and stuff, and I see sometimes how our media portrays Christianity and portrays our witness. And then to be very, you know, blunt and honest, I see how some people act in the name of the Lord. And it makes you scratch your head some. You ever had a Christian businessman or woman? You know, they got the ad in the Yellow Pages. Remember Yellow Pages? Remember those days? Remember those? That goes back a ways, doesn't it? They have a fish by their logo. And then they come and they do like a really lousy job for you. They take advantage of you. They're higher priced than anybody else. You kind of go, really? Okay. I've been thinking about what it means to be a bold follower of Christ. How can we be bold without being rude? How can we take a stand for what we believe in and still sacrificially love others? How do we do that? What do we see Jesus doing with sinners? What attitude does he portray? Was Jesus ever frustrated with sin? Think about that. And here's even a better one. Did he ever try to change culture? Yeah, but followers of Jesus, you know, they changed culture. I'm not asking that question. I'm asking, did Jesus ever try to change culture? Was he ever worried about an incredibly oppressive government in the Roman rule at the time? Was that in the crosshairs of his ministry and he was out there? I don't recall a lot of conversation, a lot of time spent on changing culture. Very much like we just talked about at the beginning of the sermon with the millennials. It was all about, how does it change you? Quit pointing to everybody else. Quit thinking about everybody else. And stuff, but how does it change you? And I come back to this story of these prophets of Baal. 450 of them. Elisha says, call down fire. Consume the sacrifice. Prove yourself. At one point, he even comes across a little sarcastic. Maybe it wasn't his sarcasm in a geeking kind of way. Maybe it was somewhat genuine. Well, they must be deaf. They must be hard of hearing. Maybe they didn't hear you. Maybe you need to go about this in a different way. How could he say those kind of things? Because of his confidence in God. His absolute certainty of his position in God. Was there any fear in this story? And I just simply don't see fear there. To the point where, I'll tell you what we're going to do. In case there's any question about the fire that God will provide in proving himself to you, let's water down the sacrifice. Let's do that. Let's go for wet wood. Anybody ever, you guys have tried to light a fire with wood that's wet, right? That's a fun experience, isn't it? Isn't that good times? You know, Bob Huey here can burn anything, all right, you know? But I guarantee you this, you go soak it in water, and I'd like to see it happen. Go soak it down and see what happens. If everything is wet, go ahead and show me. Now, you know how we light fires at my house? I have a gas fireplace. And I still burn wood. I go out and get the wood, and it could be wet. And I throw it in there, and I turn the gas fireplace on, and I light it, and I just dry that wood out with all kinds of flame. And it burns and burns and burns and burns and burns until finally I turn the gas off and it burns itself. Water it down. What are you saying? I'm saying one of the emphasis of this story is this. my God, the one true God, number one, will prove himself. He will be faithful, and he will prove himself. Number two, there's no one else like him. He will provide. He will answer. He is faithful. He hears our prayers. There's just an absolute certainty of that. What is your point today? Here's my point. You and I need to remind ourselves of that sometimes. Honestly, sometimes the church in America listens to the enemy way too much. We rationalize things away. What would the church in America do? Sure wouldn't put water on the logs. Wouldn't pour so much that it fills the trench. No way! Are you kidding me? We'd be as logical about this as possible. Over Friday night, we did this personality inventory kind of thing called SDI, something, what was it, strength deployment inventory? If not, that's what we're calling it right now, okay? So strength, and we did this kind of personality test on everybody on the board, and I did it myself, and we found out, how do we respond when the chips are down? How do we respond when things get stressful? How do we lead through that? I'll tell you what mine was. Mine was, I lead from a position of authority, first and foremost. That's my default. At the end of the day, I like being in charge. I had a boss one time tell me, Chet, wherever you go, he's my boss, remember now, make sure you're in charge, okay? Wherever you go, just make sure you're doing that. And I'm like, I don't even understand that. Because basically, God, I was offering opinions and insights and possibilities and some strategy. I was acting like a good boomer. I was developing a few things. That's how I'm wired. I want to be in charge. The second phase, when things get stressful, things don't go as well, I moved to logic, which made a lot of sense to me. That's a joke. I moved to logic. I told Marshall, I said, that wasn't any big revelation there. Because after all, what I'm trying to do is explain to someone why I'm in charge. Why we should go do this. Why we should do this together. Why you're crazy if you're not doing this. This is the best thing ever to be a part of and to do. I got frustrated with ministry years ago. Well, actually, I've been frustrated really recently. Okay, that's another joke, okay? But you know, it was like really significant a few years ago. I took one of those tests that says, here's what you ought to be in life. Anybody ever do one of those? Here's what you ought to do as a career. The Lord is my witness. The number one thing came out, religious service. I was like, oh, man. The second thing it was a lawyer. I should be in law. And I went, it makes a lot of sense. Because all that really is interpreting something. Oh, I don't know. Something like this. Interpreting something. Applying it to a circumstance, making a case for it, and convincing others. Yeah, that sounds a lot like what I do now. That's how I'm wired. But I moved to logic is the second thing. What's really interesting is the third phase, the final phase of that, is I give up. I surrender. They called it surrender. I don't like that word. I just rather say I gave up. So when you're leading in something and you make that decision, and then people kind of go, I don't know how I feel about that. I'm not really sure. And then you go to logic and you explain all that, why this really is the way we ought to be and what we ought to do, where we ought to go and stuff. I don't know. You know, you put the logic out there and stuff. And when they kind of go, it makes sense, but I don't really know and stuff, that's when you kind of go, okay, forget it. Done. A couple of the guys, surrender was never in the package. It was like time to fight. I'm more wired to be able to say, yeah, well, what's the next battle? Maybe that third one's the one I should be the most concerned about. Giving up. I don't see any give up in that story, do you? I see no give up. I see conviction. I see God-led action. I see an absolute confidence in His God, the one true God. And that His God can stand the test. So here's my question. Can your God stand the test? How confident today are you in His ability to stand the test? Some of us, honestly, some of us have been disappointed. Some of us have been frustrated. Some of us have been confused. Oh my goodness, all three of those, if that's you today, I'm not belittling it, dismissing it at all, but I simply want you to hear this, okay? We've all been there. And there's every possibility that we'll be there again. Probably getting another ticket for that bus ride. But we can also, we have a responsibility to look back and see God's hand at work and to take greater confidence and greater faith because we can see Him at work in our lives. We have that responsibility. That's what looking back does for us. We don't live in the past, but you know one thing we do? We learn from it, that's for sure. Say, God, I see how you provided, how you protected, how you led, how you held me back. What you prevented, what you allowed me to walk through. I see, Father, how you stretched my faith. How I could take on more now than I could even a few years ago. You will come through, God. You will prove yourself. You will be faithful. I can have confidence in you. I found this interesting, and I didn't even hardly touch my sermon, okay? I guess that is sermon, what we just did there, okay? That is sermon. It counts, all right? I get credit for that, all right? So, but when I read this week in my time in the Word, it just struck me that God says, present your case, as He talks to the what you and I many times would see as the powers. Great power that's in this world, the influence of this world, the power of Satan, the attack of the enemy. And God says, present your case. Make a case for yourself. Prove yourself. Set forth your arguments. Tell us what's going to happen. Help me understand the former things. Predict the future. You realize that the depth of His challenge there. Okay, powers that want to somehow be on an equal plane with me, tell me where your hand was at work in the past. Tell me what those things lead to and what we're supposed to know for the future. Bring some kind of sense of awe. He says, do something. Do anything. Challenge me. I I wonder whether or not you and I as believers just simply need to believe God for more. We need to not test him in some kind of contentious way, some kind of, yeah, we'll see, some kind of attitude way. We'll see if you come through, God, if you meet my schedule. No. But in the will of God, will he prove himself? As we go in the authority of Christ, as we go in his name, as we have been sent, in our going, can we believe that he will prove himself? So much we did not get to. I'm going to tuck this away. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Don't be anxious about anything. Make your request known. And God will come through. Scripture, time and again. Remember what I've done in the past. The word tells us, remember. Make your request known. This is what is promised for you. Though you have momentary suffering, this is not your perfect life now kind of sermon. It doesn't mean that you will not be stretched, that you won't be challenged, that there won't be difficulties. It means that with absolute certainty, you can know that he is there and that it is his victory that you can revel in. He wants your success more than you could ever want it. Why is that? Because why would he want your failure? That's logic. Sorry. I went there. We'll talk much more about this, but we've got some very important work to do. Father, we just barely scratched the surface of the confidence that you want us to have in you, the boldness that you want us to have, and that's not an arrogance, and it's not a pride, and it's not at the expense of others, it's not with our personal agenda, it's all about your will, and it's all about representing you. So Father, build our faith. Let us take risk. Let us believe you, Father, for more. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Lucas is going to come and just tell us real briefly about what we're going to do. We're going to dismiss you right from here back to tables, okay? But I do want you to do one thing for me, which I forgot. I want you to pull out that smartphone. Maybe yours will work a little bit better than mine, okay? I want you to pull out your smartphone right now. Why would you do this? Because this makes a big difference. We are seeing people go to our new website, and they're reading about church, and they're inquiring about things, and it's really exciting. And it's so easy to do. If you have a Facebook account, just simply go to check in. That's it. And just let them know that you were at Breakfast Church today. You'd be amazed how many of your friends see that, and it makes an impact. Lucas, share with us.